It's Andy Parks live from the Washington Times on 7:30 a.m., 102.9 FM, WTNT. I'm joined now by Chris Versailles, who writes the Washington Times Corner of Wall and Main column. And today it says, election's over, but markets uncertainty isn't. All right. Well, first of all, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Andy. How are you?
I'm doing just fine, I guess, in spite of what happened on Tuesday. But anyway, no change at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue for the next 4 years. No change in the control of the Senate or the House. So now what? The economy stays on the same dismal path?
Well, let's think about that. The presidential candidates spent, what was it, over $2 billion?
Yeah.
Say, guess what? Things are going to stay the same.
Yeah.
So... All kidding aside, you know, we'll see what happens. I think, you know, we're early days into President Obama's, you know, soon to be second term. And the reality is that we've got this fiscal cliff bearing down on us. As I wrote in the column today, we've got, Europe, you know, falling apart yet again. So there's a number of issues to be dealt with. The question is, will we get leadership in Washington, and will we be able to move forward and unite and get something done? That's the big question.
Yeah. Over the past couple of days, I've heard some Democrats saying, hey, you know, the economy, it comes around. It runs in cycles. You know, it'll happen in the second term of Obama. It's going to bounce back. He's going to get credit. Everything's going to be fine. People really believe that?
That's the first time hearing of this, to be honest with you. Everybody that I know is looking ahead over the next 3 months and watching more job layoff announcements hit the tape, preparing for companies to slash their forecasts as we potentially go over this fiscal cliff. I don't think anybody in the world of business is sitting there going, ah, don't worry, it'll fix itself. Yeah, I think it's far, far, far from that. And I think if you look at the stock market, which, you know, the day after the election fell by more than 350 points, falling well below 13,000, fell yesterday, and President Obama finished speaking, and the Dow Jones is once again in the red. So I don't necessarily think that the stock market is embracing that mentality.
Yeah, and I was going to ask you about the market. I thought, well, maybe it'll bounce back and forth over the coming days, and then it'll level out again, because honestly, the stock market has performed surprisingly well in my mind over the past couple of years, despite what Obama's been doing. Hasn't that been the one bright spot?
You know, it's funny you say that. On the one hand, I would agree with you.
Okay.
If we look simply at the index numbers,
okay,
you're absolutely right. You know, they've all cranked higher. But if you look at the volume associated with all these trades in the underlying indices, you'll see that it's actually been extremely weak. And when you look at the results from a number of broker-dealers as they report their quarterly results, particularly the New York Stock Exchange and then the NASDAQ, you see the dollars associated with trading cash equities have just fallen quarter after quarter after quarter, which to me says that the indices are up, but it's no volume, it's not really a lot of belief in the sustainability of the rally, and more importantly, the average investor is not participating.
You know, I should have gotten out last week.
Well, you know, it's funny you say that, because in one of the newsletters that I write, ETF Power Trader, I actually recommended ahead of the election that the subscribers turn around and they buy two ETFs, one that bets against the Dow Jones Industrial Average and one that bets against the S&P 500.
Oh, that's funny.
Oh, yeah, it's fantastic. And I'll tell you what, I also recommended some call options associated with both of those. And we just traded out of those on Wednesday when the market was tanking, and the subscribers were up 85%.
Oh, man. I got to start reading that thing.
Well, you know.
I have to start paying more attention, you know? Man, oh, man. Hey, by the way, did you take anything from McDonald's seeing its first drop in sales in 10 years, that report yesterday?
You know, it's funny you should say that. One of the things I'm working on is trying to assess, as we move forward in the economy and this uncertainty, which set of companies are going to be under some pressure. And as I'm doing my homework, I'm, you know, the National Restaurant Association said that their traffic in September fell month over month. And then if you take a look at millennials, there's another research group out, the MPD group, I believe, that is saying that millennials are eating out once a week less than they did 4 or 5 years ago. So you sit there and you go, once a week, what's once a week? The reality is it's more than a 20% drop.
Sure.
So it's actually big numbers. So I'm starting to take a look at some of the companies that I think will be impacted. You know, the quick ones would be like a Red Robin, for example, a Cheesecake Factory.
Yeah.
But McDonald's was surprising, and that does make me nervous.
Yeah. And, you know, I was talking earlier about the Darden restaurant chain, and I've been kind of keeping an eye on them over the past month or so because they're the one restaurant chain. They have Red Lobster and Olive Garden and those type of facilities. They're the ones that have been looking at Obamacare and what's coming down the road, higher taxes coming down the road. And they've taken their work staff and they've moved them back to 29 and a half hours.
Yeah, because, you know, under Obamacare, 30 hours is full-time job.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's very sneaky. But also, too, remember that Darden has the Capital Grill and some other higher-end restaurant chains that I don't think would actually insulate them.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, we're going to see costs rise at restaurants as well.
Yeah.
Given the impact of the would-be drought that we had this past summer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You're right, because every food product in the world is going up, I think.
Well, that's exactly right. And,
yeah.
You know, I'll throw out a stock recommendation that I've made in Powertrend Profits is as we look at the cash-strapped consumer, people, you know, having less disposable income, they're going to eat out less, they're going to eat home more. And to me, that says wonders for local company McCormick's & Company.
Oh, yeah, that's true. All right, I want to move to a piece you wrote for Forbes on the importance of patents and intellectual property. You talk about the importance of this protection, but not only for defensive reasons, but offensive reasons. Explain that.
Well, historically, companies have developed a lot of, you know, technologies, and they patent them to protect them in case someone started using it. So they would say, oh, you're using my technology, oh, let's work out a deal, and it'd be a little bit of a revenue stream. But really, with the rise of smartphones, we've seen a number of technologies get embedded in this one set of devices. And now, all of a sudden, companies are going, hey, I can use my patents and my intellectual property to prevent people from getting into that marketplace, kind of ensuring my competitive position. And we're seeing that with Apple, Samsung, and a whole host of companies.
So these ideas, though, by patenting these ideas and using them offensively,
mm-hmm.
it would provide a way out for some struggling company. I mean, they could sell off some of the stuff as a means of picking up additional revenue, right?
So we've seen that. We've seen some bankrupt companies like Nortel sell access to, I think, more than 6,000 patents, and they use that to repay bondholders. But we've seen other companies like Nokia that's, you know, really on its back. In the mobile phone market, smartphone market, they turned around and sold, a couple times some slugs of patents. So it is a way to cast a lifeline to certain companies, but, you know, you have to wonder if it's down to selling that, you've really got to be in some trouble.
Yeah. All right, out of time for this week, but before I let you run out here, I've been asking everybody, were you shocked with the results on Tuesday night? What was your gut feeling?
I was surprised it was as called as early as it was.
Yeah. Yeah, I would agree. I was kind of expecting to pull an all-nighter, 3 o'clock in the morning, just getting word, perhaps on Ohio.
Yeah. Absolutely. I was surprised, but I think, what's the expression? You know, I was hoping for the best, but preparing for the worst. and the reality was, look, unless Obama was reelected as he was, and unless Democrats took over the House, it was going to be status quo, and, that's exactly what we got.
Yeah, that's for sure. All right, well, listen, great to talk to you. We'll do it again next week. Chris Versailles, Washington Times, corner of Wall and Main. You can always get in touch with Chris at chrisversailles.com, VERSACE.com. All right, thank you, Chris.
Thanks, Andy.
See you. It is 4:57, 7:30 a.m., 102.9 FM, WTNT.